So I'm always excited to kick off a new series here at Crossroads, and this series we are doing is called Little Big Stories, and we're going to be taking a look at some of the stories that Jesus told. Because after all, Jesus was the master storyteller. But he didn't just tell, like, any old story. He usually told stories that had a point. And these stories were meant to have a big impact on our lives. Jesus often used parables, as they're called, to teach his disciples, to teach his followers on the ways to live their lives, the ways they can join in on God's mission, and the ways that they can understand God's kingdom. And so this week, we're going to be diving into our series, Little Big Stories, by looking at Luke chapter 15 and following along from verses 1 through 10. Now, I was thinking about, as I was preparing for this series, you know, just thinking about a year ago, I was going through a season where I was doing a number of different premarital counseling sessions. I was meeting with some families to talk about baptism coming up. I was doing some relationship counseling. And of course, when you are a pastor in Elkhorn Market and you don't have a church building, you don't have an office, where do you meet people? You go to, like, Firehouse Grill or the End Zone or sometimes the Double Wide, because those are the choices we have in town, right? And so I started wondering if I should get a little bit concerned when I was meeting with this young couple. They're kind of new to the area. They had a baby that they wanted baptized, and so I met with them over at the End Zone. And as I'm meeting with the couple, I can hear the bartender say to her coworker, "Well, let's ask Pastor Gordon." And I'm thinking, okay, well, she knows I'm a pastor in the area. Maybe she has some sort of spiritual question that they've been talking about. It was kind of a slow night at the bar that night anyway. And so she's walking over, and as she's walking over, I'm thinking, and I'm preparing myself, like, okay, what question are they going to ask me about faith in the bar, right? And I'm preparing myself for this, and I hear her say, "Let's ask Pastor Gordon. He's a man about the town. Maybe he's heard of this club before." And I thought, oh boy, what kind of reputation am I forming if I'm hanging out a little bit, maybe too much at this bar or something, that they kind of, I'm developing a reputation for the amount of Mountain Dew that I consume at the End Zone or other places. Well, thankfully for me, we all realize that Jesus isn't really concerned about us keeping a squeaky clean life, is he? Jesus isn't so much concerned about whether or not we are living a squeaky clean life. In Luke chapter 15, our story begins like this. It says, "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.'" And so the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, the religious leaders of the day, they're a little bit concerned about the kind of people that Jesus hangs out with. Because after all, we've all heard you are you basically are a representation of your friends, right? You are like the people that you hang out with. And so the religious leaders and the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they don't understand this Jesus. Because if Jesus really was such an important rabbi, why would he hang out with such people like tax collectors and sinners? I mean, tax collectors, like, we all hate Uncle Sam, right? But tax collectors, they're the ones who are taking money from their fellow Jews, and they're giving it to the enemy, the Roman government. And so how could they be such a traitor and betray their own people and to skim money off the top? And so these were considered kind of like almost crooks or whatever. They just didn't have a high opinion of the tax collectors and other sinners. And for Jesus to go and spend time with them, to hang out with them and to have dinner with them, well, that must mean that Jesus somehow identifies with them, that somehow Jesus is like them. So they consider that Jesus was guilty by association, that if Jesus is hanging out with these kind of people, then that must mean he's just like them. But Jesus wasn't really concerned about the type of people he was hanging out with, was he? Actually, Jesus, you could say, was concerned about the type of people he was hanging out with, because he wanted to make sure to hang out with the people that God had called him to, the people that God had given a mission to reach. And so he hung out with the tax collectors and the sinners. He hung out with the least, the lost, the left out of society, the other people that the religious leaders said, "You know what, you're not welcome here. You're not good enough. You don't belong here." Those were the people that Jesus was called to reach. And so he went to go to them. He went to spend time with them because Jesus was driven not by a concern of his own reputation, but he was driven by God's mission. He was driven by the mission of God, the mission that God had called him to. And so we pick up the story in Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 4. Some translations say it says, you know, it kind of begins like this, where Jesus tells a parable. He says, suppose one of you were a shepherd. In my translation here that I'm using today, it says, what man of you, so imagine you are a shepherd having 100 sheep. If you lost one of them, do you not leave the other 99 in the open country and go after that one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. And so Jesus is inviting his hearers into the story. He's saying, suppose one of you was a shepherd. Now, if you were a shepherd, you were supposed to be taking care of your sheep. And Jesus is going after the Pharisees and the scribes and the teachers of the law because they were to consider themselves as shepherds. Shepherds over God's flock, shepherds over God's holy people, the ones that they were to teach the ways of God. And so Jesus is kind of going after them and saying, well, why wouldn't you go after such people if they're tax collectors and sinners and you think they are disobeying God's word? Then those are the people that you should be reaching. And so Jesus invites us to place ourselves in the story, to consider what our role would be as a shepherd. And he goes after the prophets and the teachers of the law because he wants them to understand that the good shepherd goes after the sheep that is lost. The good shepherd goes after the one sheep that wandered away. You know the one, right? The one that never listens. The one that challenges you around mealtime and refuses to eat. That shepherd that it seems like no matter how much you poke and you prod and you try to guide them and help them make positive choices for their life, it almost seems like it's hopeless, right? Everything you say falls on deaf ears, and you know, why would they ever listen to you, right? We all know that sheep. We all know that sheep that we struggle with, and that's the one that Jesus is concerned about. That's the good shepherd. He goes after that one sheep that has seemed to have lost its way. And once he finds that sheep, he rejoices. It says that the shepherd throws a party, right? Now, not that the shepherds literally would have folded through a party, but the good shepherd would. The good shepherd would rejoice over that one lost sheep. You see, we're never going to find the sheep that we're looking for. We're never going to find the lost sheep if we're only looking out for ourselves. If we're only concerned about our own reputation, the kind of people we hang out with, and trying to keep ourselves squeaky clean, we're never going to find that sheep that was lost. Sometimes we have to get a little dirty in order to find the lost sheep. If you're tending sheep, sometimes you have to step in some mud to go and find that sheep, right? And you're going to get a little bit dirty in that process. And I'm not saying that you should go ahead and engage in whatever destructive behaviors might be, but we shouldn't be so afraid of becoming guilty by association. You know, for me, the fact that I even stepped foot in a bar was considered a sin in the hometown that I grew up in. In this quiet Norwegian community, like, if you were a good church-going Christian, you would not step foot in a bar because that was no place for a kid. Well, kind of similar to Elkwood Market, it might have been the only place that had a meal on a Friday night that you could go and enjoy. And so it took a while for me to realize, okay, I'm living in a town, and it's not like there's really any other choices. You know, if I want to go and meet with somebody, and they say, hey, let's go down to the Double Wide and watch the Wild play tonight, and I've got some stuff I want to talk about, well, then that's where I'm going to go. And I'm not so much concerned about what kind of reputation I'm developing, although it is a little odd that the bartender thought I was a guy that knew lots of clubs in the cities. I mean, it's not like I've ever danced at any of these places. But I'm not so much concerned about the reputation. And I recognize that sometimes we're going to get a little dirty if we're going after those lost sheep, if we're paying attention to God's mission. So let me ask you this. Is there something that you could be found guilty of? Are you guilty of by association of anything? Is there anyone that God has laid on your heart to reach? You know, maybe you see that person or you think about, you know, that context all the time and you say, you know what? There's somebody that for some reason my heart is drawn to. There's somebody that my heart breaks for. There's somebody that I can see that is hurting, that is struggling. And it's somebody that I want to reach. For me personally, as I've entered into this new year and as I was preparing for this text and just kind of praying about, God, what is it that you would like me to focus on this year? I've noticed that I'm becoming more and more excited about this role that our chief of police has asked me to step into as the police chaplain here in Elkhart Market. For the last year, I've been spending some time doing some training, trying to get certified, and doing a number of different things and attending different seminars, and I've been realizing that God has created a special place in my heart for our law enforcement community, our first responders, and their families. And I recognize that part of it probably is because my father was a cop. Now, probably, I don't know if anybody really knew that. It's not a part of my life that I really talk about. It's not a part of my life that I really share because I am a statistic. My parents were divorced by the time that I was 4 years old. And because of the struggles that my father endured, I recognize that I probably was a statistic, a consequence of the job. And I know the unique set of challenges that I faced as a child growing up in that situation. But now as I study it, as I've learned about it, as I've talked to more police officers, I'm starting to get a bigger picture of maybe what was going on. I'm starting to understand some of the unique struggles, the unique challenges that our law enforcement families and our law enforcement community face. Did you know that the divorce rate in the law enforcement community is higher than any other? Did you know that more officers, I mean, the suicide statistics, alcoholism, sleepless, like, it's higher than any other profession. And some of you know that. Some of you have friends or have worked in law enforcement, and that's my area that I'm feeling like, you know what? God is asking me to spend more time hanging out, doing some, so I'm starting with some ride-alongs. I'm starting to hang out and get to know our own police officers. But I feel like God has given me a bigger burden. Because I recognize that there are over 40 law enforcement officers that live right here in Elkhart Market. And what if we could become a church that could surround those families and love on them and let them know that we are here for them, that we care for them, that we're praying for them, and just be a blessing for them. So that's a little bit my own personal of what I'm kind of thinking through and wrestling with. Is there somebody that God has laid on your heart? Is there somebody that you want to rub some shoulders with? You know, maybe it's not our local law enforcement because Officer Josh pulled you over and you didn't get out of that ticket because you didn't drop my name. I'm sorry. You'll have to ask Adam about that story later. maybe it's somebody else, though. And maybe you're feeling called to hang out with people on the softball field. Maybe you're feeling called to hang out with people at the workplace or whatever it might be. Who is it that God has laid on your heart? Who can you rub shoulders with? Are you willing to get a little dirty? Part of the reason why I'm concerned about this and I think about this is I recognize as I read through this text, I recognize that every sheep is valuable to the shepherd. Every sheep is valuable to the shepherd. Now, some of you are here today and you're probably thinking, like, oh, all right, that's enough. Like, I feel like you're preaching to the rest of the flock, but I don't really consider myself to be a part of that flock. I'm not sure if I'm quite there yet. And that's okay, I can preach to you as well. Because every sheep is valuable to the shepherd. Even the sheep that consider themselves goats. Even the sheep that have thought, you know what, I'm not good enough. I've always been the black sheep of my family. I've always been told that I'm not good enough. I've always failed to measure up. For whatever reason, we've been turned away. We've talked about, we've all had our fair share of bad church experiences before, right? Where we were turned off from Christianity. Maybe we experienced some judgments, some assumptions that were made. And you know what? I wonder if that's probably one of the biggest stumbling blocks that we as a church, that we as Christians face. Is that so many times our own judgments and assumptions get in the way that prevents us from really going after and reaching out to those that might be feeling a little bit lost, for those who might be struggling, for those that might be hurting, and for those who just want somebody to come alongside of them and walk this path. You see, every sheep is valuable to the shepherd. And judgments and assumptions have no place in God's mission. No place in God's mission. Now, some of us may have struggled. And we feel like, man, we've made our mistakes. That God probably has forgiven or given up on us. I remember talking with my wife's grandfather. He is a World War II vet, and as far as I know, I'm not sure if he ever found himself in any serious combat, but for whatever reason, he felt like he had made his fair share of mistakes, and that whatever God there was probably had already judged him by that point. And I remember having a conversation with this 8-year-old. I can't remember if we were tying fishing lures together or what, but it was just he and I. We started talking about this. And I had an opportunity to explain to him and tell him how much God loved him, that God hadn't given up on him. And I had a chance to pray with him and to see him receive Jesus into his life, to understand how much God loves him. You see, I think for a lot of us, shame is the tool that the enemy likes to use. That shame is the greatest tool that Satan can use to tell us that we're no good, that you're not good enough, that God has already judged you, that it's too late to really be a part of the flock. But it's never too late to discover how much God loves us. So if that's the case, if God really does care about every sheep, if every sheep is valuable to the shepherd, then what are we doing to build bridges? What can we do to, why aren't we building bridges to reach out to those that might be wandering, for those that might be struggling? Is it that we are too timid, too afraid to speak up, too afraid to talk openly about our faith? Maybe we're concerned about our own reputations, right? Maybe you grew up in a household like mine where you were kind of told, like, okay, you don't step foot in the bar because that's not okay, right? We don't want you to do that. Or maybe part of it is just we've become apathetic. That we've forgotten what it's like to be in someone else's shoes. We've forgotten what it's like to walk that lonely road. We've forgotten what it's like to struggle with that guilt and that shame and to feel unloved, to feel unworthy. And so we've given up. As we continue this story, the next story is a story of a woman who loses a coin. And I think this story helps us remember that sometimes we need a little pain before we start searching. That sometimes it takes a little pain before we start searching and we realize the value of what has been lost. In Luke chapter 15, verses 8 through 10, Jesus continues with another little big story. He says, "Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost.' Just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God and over one sinner who repents." You see, for us, we probably hear this story and we think, well, what's the big deal? Right? She loses a little coin. Why is she so concerned about us? But we have to understand that this isn't just like losing a quarter or losing a dime in the couch cushion where you're like, okay, well, the kids can find it, they can play with it. No, this coin was the equivalent of one day's worth of work. It was one day's wage. And so this was a significant sum of money for this woman. It was like losing an entire day's worth of work. Not only that, some scholars wonder if this was a part of her wedding dowry, that this was a gift, that maybe she came from a family that didn't have a whole lot of means, and so her father had given her this gift of 10 coins as her wedding gift. It would serve as her sense of security in case things were to go poorly, in case they were struggling or to find themselves in a hardship. She could use this money to get by. Some even say that maybe this was part of, if it was her wedding dowry, that it could have been a part of jewelry. You know, that maybe it was strung together in a necklace or it would contain sentimental value such as an engagement ring would have for a woman today. So imagine losing a diamond from your engagement ring or losing a paycheck. And this is what this woman is going through. She's searching diligently, trying to find what is lost. And sometimes we don't realize the value of something until it's gone. We don't recognize, you know, maybe it's something we've taken for granted, something we've used all along. Maybe it's something that we've misplaced, and we don't feel that pain until that thing is gone. Sometimes it takes a little pain before we start searching, before we recognize that value and are called into action. Well, Jesus' little big stories have a point to them, a big point. And that is they are to point us towards the mission of God, to help us understand that God, it's about God's mission and about God's kingdom at work. These little big stories teach Jesus' followers on what he expects and what it means to live as a follower of Jesus. And they show us the ways that we can live our lives today. These little big stories are meant to have a big impact. They're not just made up stories. They're not literal stories either, but they're not just made up stories that have a fun little point. They are stories that are meant to be lived out. So that when we have lost something, or when we can feel the pain of somebody else, when we can understand and see something from somebody else's perspective, to let go of our biases, place ourselves in their shoes, we would be willing to take action. That we would search diligently to reach those that God has called us to. So here's what I want you to do this week. Here's what I want you to do. If you want to write this down, go ahead or make a note in your Bible. First, you have my permission to get a little dirty. All right? You have my permission to get dirty this week, to hang out with somebody maybe you normally wouldn't hang out with, to kind of suspend those judgments, to go ahead. And I'm not saying you have to go against your conscience. I'm not saying you have to make some destructive choices in your life. But look for opportunities to connect with those that might be struggling, for those that might feel like they are far from God at this moment, for those that could be looking for a bridge, looking for some sign of hope or encouragement. Second, I want you to suspend your biases, to let go of your biases, right? Because so often it's our own judgments and our assumptions that get in our way. And so I want you to look past the biases you have. When you drive down the street and you see that homeless person in the corner, instead of just judging them or thinking that they're some sort of scam artist, so I'll confess a lot of times that's the thought running through my head and whatnot. What if we could look past our biases? What if we could hear their stories? What if we took the time to get to know them and to hear the struggles that they've endured? What kind of word of hope or encouragement could we get if we looked past our general assumptions? And third, I want to encourage you to feel a little pain this week, to allow yourself to experience that pain, to place yourself in somebody else's shoes, to try to understand what is it that they're going through, to remember what it's like to feel lost, to feel scared, to feel all alone. So go ahead, get a little dirty, look past your biases, and allow yourselves to feel some pain, so you can connect with those that God has called you on mission to reach. Because every sheep is valuable to the shepherds. Every sheep is valuable to the shepherds. Let us pray. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for being with us this morning. And we certainly recognize that you have placed us here on this earth to participate and to be in mission with you. And God, as we think about those who are around us that might be struggling, for those that might be hurting, God, I pray that you reveal faces and names to us, people that we can reach out to in love and acceptance, so that they can discover just how much you love them. God, we pray for the courage to let go of our judgments and our assumptions, our biases. Give us courage to move past our timidity. Give us hearts that can feel once again. Give us the hearts that you have for your children. Give us the hearts that you have for your flock. Give us the heart that you have for that one lost sheep that has lost its way. And so, God, I pray that you be with us this week as we try to live out your story, as we try to search for those around us, as we try to share your love, as we try to share your mercy, as we try to share a word of encouragement and hope. We pray for all this, Lord, in your name.